We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Marco Marquez. Now, it's time for the Border Patrol Fast Break. Let's start off with Shreya Slada from the Kansas City Star to talk about Kansas. All right, Kansas coming off that dramatic loss at the hands of Kansas State, and now they have to get ready for TCU. Let's take us back to Manhattan. What went wrong for Kansas? Why did they lose to Kansas State?
Absolutely. I think, honestly, everything that you could have thought possibly went wrong, and they came out of there with a one-point overtime loss. I know there's no such thing as a moral victory, but you have to come out there and think, Kansas isn't going to shoot 20% from three again. They're not going to miss 10 free throws. They're going to have three guys foul out. It was kind of a game where, you know, I think the energy from the tip-off was just kind of favored to Kent State or K-State. They went out there and they were really, you know, played up the competition. I think they kind of came in and they wanted that game, and it showed. And it took some time for Kansas to settle in with their defense. It took some time for Kansas to really figure out what they wanted to do in offense. In the first half, KJ Adams was the only one who really could get anything going. Totally, Jalen Wilson became the guy. And I think one of the biggest issues was DeJuan Harris and Kevin McCullers kind of no-show in offense. They combined for 3 points, I think, on one of nine shooting. Kevin ended up fouling out later in the game, which was a big deal because then Kansas was forced to play the bench. Playing guys like Zach Clements and Yesufu and Bobby, and you know those guys haven't really played a ton of minutes this year. And you know on that last play where the inbounded the ball to DeJuan, I felt like I said in my piece, it was a win for Kansas State the moment DeJuan Harris got the ball. DeJuan Harris is a facilitator first; he plays like that. And you know, I watched that play a couple of times. You're not going to pass to Zach Clements because, you know, back in regular time, I think he went up for a hook shot or something like that, got stripped, and they turned it into 2 points like late in the second half. And I think the only person that was available on that might have been open was Yesufu, but how often are you going to trust a guy who puts up 3.8 points per game to shoot a game-winning shot?
So one of the things that you mentioned there was the poor offensive performance of Kevin McCullough. And I think it's interesting because when I remember talking to him at Big 12 Media Day, he said one of the big reasons he transferred to Kansas was the feedback he got. If he wants to try to make it as a pro, he's got to get better as an offensive player. We all know he's a very good defensive player. Well, he is 0 for his last 8 from beyond the arc. And looking back at it, it's 6 games since he shot over 38% from the floor in a game. This is a slump. I mean, how big of a concern is that for McCullough that, you know, that right now he just seems to be in a prolonged shooting slump?
I think the thing is, I'm not worried about the slump in the sense of he's not going to be able to shoot the ball well. I'm worried about the fact that when you watch him on the court, he seems to be in his own head. And it's something self-said after on Thursday where he has to stop thinking. Like, when you overthink, that's when you're a split second slow in decisions. That's when you don't take shots. A day like Tuesday where he puts up 2 shots and goes 0-2, and I think the first shot was like an air ball. The next shot, he basically, I think he missed the point pick layup, missed both free throws. They got a three on the other end. It was like a 5-point swing, basically. It obviously is tough for any player, you know, like, you know, it's tough to watch for him, for a guy, you know, getting open shots for how good he is, because, you know, I think he's in his own head. He's playing a little tentative. I think he just isn't quite where he should be offensively. But I don't think it's a long-term concern, because as soon as he gets the shooting back, it's back to normal. I mean, he's still playing pretty good defense. It hasn't affected his defense that much. But on the offensive end, they really need McCullough to make those open shots, because the floor gets less space. I mean, DeJuan is not the most willing to take the shots. And when you have both guys really kind of, you know, passing the ball around, it ends up in KJ Adams or Jalen Wilson or Grady Dickham, and they take tough shots. And more often than not, they make it because they're really good at that stuff. But it puts a lot of pressure on them to kind of make an offensive night happen that is not ordinary. Like, Jalen Wilson took a season high, I think it might have been career high, in shot attempts. Grady Dick has shot a career high in shot attempts the last three games. And same thing with KJ Adams. Obviously, the roles have started to flourish, but for Kansas to reach its full ceiling, they need Kevin to really make those open shots when he gets them and not be tentative when he has the ball, because it's just him shooting the ball opens up the floor for Kansas.
So one of the issues you also referenced was the foul trouble, and once they had to go to the bench, they had a bunch of inexperienced players out there that hadn't really been in a situation like that before. When we were watching the game, my buddy kept asking me, why can't MJ Rice get on the court? Why isn't Ernest Udeh playing at all? And then we find out that Udeh had his wisdom teeth removed, and so he wasn't quite back to 100%, and MJ Rice is still dealing with this back injury. I guess I'd like for you to kind of discuss the importance of them developing some depth, that if something like this happens where guys foul out, they're in a better position. And can MJ Rice and Udeh still become pieces to that depth through the course of this season?
So I think it's interesting to get that question for the one that everyone's asking me. I got a mailback question that's very similar. Yes, I think if MJ Rice had played some real minutes throughout the season and not been injured, like he's been very snake bitten with injuries, they probably win that game, because they just really need something off the offense, for the offense on the bench. Do I think his development is super important for March? I don't think so. If we look historically back at Bill Self's Kansas teams, we look at the roster he had last year, he doesn't play super deep in March anyways. I asked him yesterday, what's an ideal rotation? He says probably seven with an eighth guy, you know, basically break glass in case of emergency. Now, with Ernst, Udo, and Zuby, those two guys, that's the thing that worries me. If I was a Kansas fan, I'd be sitting here and looking like, yeah, the rebounding has been an issue throughout the year, but they've got away with it because of their effort and, you know, their high energy. But every time KJ Adams sits, whoever plays in his place has never been – it's just a drastic drop-off. Every time Zach Clemens plays, if he doesn't shoot threes, on the other end, he's given up multiple buckets with his, you know, over-helping on defense and just getting lost and getting beat off the dribble. And I feel like, you know, if Kansas wants to reach its full potential, they really need one of the young big men off the bench to be able to step in and give them 10, 12, 15 minutes a game, because it puts a lot of the onus on KJ to play big minutes, which I think he can. He has great conditioning, but he's 6'7", going against the guys who are usually taller and more physical than him, and he's done a great job, but they need to develop the young guys, I think, for them to reach the full potential and to get to how good Kansas really is as a team. Because say they get matched up with like Tennessee again or Purdue, that could really present some big matchup issues for Kansas, I think. And I think going back to it is, like, bench development is important, but it's not as important as everyone makes it out to be. But I think there's a certain element of bench development in the sense of they need the big men to step up because they just have a lot of big men. And gives them versatility. So I would definitely say, MJ, okay, yeah, it'd be great if he could become the bona fide scorer off the bench. But I think a guy like Zuby or Ernst, they definitely need something from them right now and going throughout the rest of the season.
All right, TCU comes to town losing three of their last four, including their last loss at West Virginia. but they are still a talented team led by Mike Miles. What do you expect? How does this game play out tomorrow at noon?
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, historically, Bill Self teams have been really, really good after a loss. I think I checked since 2012. They're 56-7, which is insane. And obviously, it's nearly impossible, it feels like, for any opposing team to win at Allen Fieldhouse. ECU is a really, really great defensive team, top 20 in the nation, and defensive efficiency. They really control the pace. They have a guard that averages 19 a game, so KU has their hands full in Mike Miles, who does a little bit of everything. So obviously they'll put DeJuan or Kevin on him to really kind of slow him down. I think Kansas comes out with the win. I just think, you know, obviously it's an important game for both teams, but I just don't see them dropping back-to-back games. I think they know what went wrong on Tuesday. They've watched the tape. They've learned from it. They put that in the rearview mirror, and they've kind of put that and said, hey, it's time to get back in track and start another streak of 10 games or whatever. So I think Kansas wins in a close one because it feels like every home conference game has been a close one, but I think they pull out of this one.
Hey, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Now let's welcome in Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Hello there, Gabe. How are you?
Not bad. What's up, guys?
Okay, so we've all been talking about how the schedule worked out very well for us to be able to watch the Chiefs. Not so much for anyone covering Mizzou, because that tip-off is at the awful time of 5 o'clock. Right around halftime of the game. I know you are a huge Chiefs fan. How will you handle this? Will you keep your eye on the Chiefs game? Will you try to ignore it while you're covering Mizzou, Alabama? Or are you sending someone else to cover that game and you're watching the Chiefs? Please tell us what's happening.
No, I'll be there. They're playing the number 4 team in the country. Yeah. I'll be there. I will have a laptop, which I cannot confirm or deny may have the Chiefs game on it, and
right,
may have somewhere between 51 and 99% of my attention.
What? Give us your official score. What will it be between Kansas City and Jacksonville?
37-27 Chiefs.
All right, 37-27 Chiefs, which is a cover, and the over. Now, before we get to Alabama-Missouri, some late news last night that Mizzou landed was going to land a pretty highly touted quarterback in the transfer portal, Jake Garcia. So Marco and I finally have a Mexican-American quarterback at Mizzou, perhaps. But he's transferring from Miami. He was a top 50 kid. He was actually ranked higher than Sam Horn in the same class. He had offers from Alabama and every place else out of high school, and he didn't play too much down there. He had a redshirt year, but a very high upside quarterback that has 3 years to play. What do you think of this move landing Jake Garcia in the transfer portal, and what does it mean for this quarterback race next year?
Yeah, just for clarity, I think Garcia was the class before Horn.
Okay.
I think he was 2021, and Horn was the 2022 class. They actually played in the state title game when Garcia was a senior at Grayson High School. His team beat Sam Horn and Collins Hill 38-14 in the 7A Georgia state title game. This is – look, everybody wants to, like, say either, hey, Missouri is bringing in a guy that's guaranteed to be the starter, or Missouri is just bringing in a camp body. It's neither. I mean, this is competition. Jake Garcia he wasn't guaranteed the starting quarterback job, because that doesn't happen. We went through all that last year, and Missouri wasn't guaranteeing anybody the starting quarterback job last year, but they certainly were telling people, hey, you're going to have a pretty good shot. Look at our quarterback situation. So I don't think Garcia was told, hey, you're starting. But he's definitely coming here with the idea that he's going to compete to start. It'll be him and Sam Horn in the spring. You're going to add Brady Cook back in the fall. And I've said all along, I do not expect Drinkwitz to name a starter after spring football, because part of it is he doesn't want any of these guys to leave quite yet, you know. So it'll be a three-way race. in fall camp. Whoever wins the job is going to be the starter. And then, let's be honest, the way college football is, things are going to get interesting as far as who sticks around and who doesn't after that. Eli knows how this works. If Jake Garcia comes in and he's Missouri's starting quarterback in 2023, you've got to understand there's a pretty good chance the other two aren't going to be here beyond that. But so be it. You've got your starting quarterback, and you let it sort out on the field however it's going to sort out.
All right, so there's your update. Mizzou lands a pretty highly touted quarterback in the transfer portal, Jake Garcia. Now, the Mizzou basketball team is coming off a very important victory at home over Arkansas. They were down 10 with just under 5 minutes left to play. They come all the way back. They hit all their free throws. There was some horrific officiating on both sides where Missouri benefited from at least one call where there was absolutely no contact anywhere that I could see. And then the foul was called. And then we talked about this call. I'd like to get your thoughts on this. The SEC released a statement that they made a mistake or whatever. I don't. You could explain it further on the charge call that went against Arkansas. They didn't review it to see if the Mizzou player was in the restricted area because they were told it was not reviewable. But it actually was reviewable, and they would have reviewed it. Mizzou might have been in trouble. They won the game, but what about that? All that weird stuff that happened at the end of the game?
Well, look, there were 56 fouls in that game. It was awful. I mean, it was the poster for why fans say, I can't watch college basketball. Throughout the first half, I thought most of the calls were earned. These were fouls, but usually when that happens in the first half, what you see them do is in the second half, just, hey, we're calling nothing. It happened a little bit in KUK State, it seems like. There were wrestling matches, and it's like, yeah, that's fine. Just go play. And I think most fans would actually prefer to see that. But the last 5 minutes of that game indicated why it is very, very difficult to win on the road in college basketball. I'm not saying that people get mad at me. You always say the officials don't decide the game. Arkansas absolutely still could have won that game. Missouri got calls in the last 5 minutes. They got more than Arkansas did. There's no question about it. The charge call, it was interesting. When they went, clearly, DeMoy Hodge was set on that play. So we just thought, hey, this is easy call, charge. And they go to the monitor, and we're like, what are they reviewing? And then we said, well, they've got to be reviewing if he was in the circle, right? And when you watch the replay, his feet were on that line. Now, I don't know what it's kind of like the rule about being across the line of scrimmage. I don't know exactly the rule. Does all of your foot have to be in the restricted area? Can just any part of it be out? I don't know.
His heel was up.
As far as the idea, as far as the idea that they were told they couldn't review it, I mean, they took a good amount of time reviewing it. It seems like that could have been said right off the bat. It almost made me wonder if maybe that was more of a situation like, the official didn't want to pull a Carl Cheffers and have his voice break and say, we just reversed this call with 2 minutes left. Please don't kill us before we leave the arena.
Yeah, that would not have gone over well. Marco got in trouble from his mom because he was making such a ruckus because he was excited that Isaiah Mosley was playing. So now, and the JUCO kid, the big kid, Jaro, was playing. So are they going to play now? Is Isaiah Mosley officially part of this basketball team as a player?
Well, he was on Wednesday. I mean, the way it's gone, I hesitate to say that means I know he's playing tomorrow. Because it's been a game-to-game deal. But, they were without Noah Carter, but they'll get him back, whether that's Saturday or next week. I'm not sure quite yet. We're going to talk to Gates later today, and hopefully he'll give us a heads up there. But he now has 11 guys he's comfortable playing. That doesn't mean they're all 11 going to play, but Mo Diarra has obviously made progress. Isaiah Mosley has done enough to get back to where he's part of the rotation, sometimes, if not all the time. Aiden Shaw has made some progress. I thought played his best game on Wednesday night against Arkansas. So you've got 11 guys, and that doesn't mean they're all 11 going to play every night. But, he very much is a guy who has shown, I'm going to ride the hot hand. I mean, Nick Honor barely played in the first half. you know, against Arkansas. And it wasn't foul trouble. He just wasn't playing very well. Now played a huge role in the second half. But, yeah, they've got options. They've got depth, and any coach would prefer that.
How good is Alabama, and what kind of shot do you give Mizzou pulling off the upset tomorrow?
Yeah, I agree with Dennis Gates. I think they're the best team in the country. That's not disrespectful to Kansas or Houston or anybody else in the top five. But Alabama is, I mean, they are steamrolling people. You know, they won at Houston. They've won, I think, five of their six league game by 15 points. They have a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense. They're a complete basketball team. They're the best team in this league. Hey, weird things happen in college basketball, especially at home. I don't expect Alabama to go 18-0 in SEC play. I expect them to drop one somewhere. I wouldn't necessarily say I expect it to be tomorrow, but Missouri fans should absolutely go into this thinking they've got a shot because, you know, why wouldn't you on the home court?
All right, Gabe DeArmond, good luck pulling double duty, and I hope your prediction is correct, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
That is Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com, and now Marco gives me a thumbs down, so it means he's not happy with my performance. Oh, I'm sorry. That means he's having trouble with our next guest. So, I feel bad for Gabe because he loves them Chiefs. You know that.
Well, it sounds like he's got a plan worked out.
That's, you know, because it's out of necessity. I mean, it's not.
Well, we've all been there. You know, we've all had stuff like this.
You haven't been there. You haven't been there to cover Alabama at Mizzou Arena.
No, but I've been in a situation where I've had to work while a Chiefs playoff game was going on. Mm-hmm. Or had some other responsibility.
Yeah.
I remember my son's basketball team had a game that was going on during the first half of the Chiefs-Texans game where the divisional round where the Chiefs fell behind. Mm-hmm. And we got done with the game, and the ref came up to me and said, you know, the Chiefs are down like, what was it, 24-0, something like that? And I said, how do you know that while you've been reffing the game the whole time? Well, I've been checking my watch. No wonder you missed all those calls. Anyways, the point is, we've all had responsibilities while a Chiefs playoff game's going on. So, well, we can identify with what Gabe. But he said, you know, luckily he lives in a day and age where with technology, he could watch it right there from his laptop.
Tremendous. Wonderful technology.
Didn't used to have that, you know?
Yeah, I already told Sue she's driving just in case from the St. Gabe's game. There might be some snow. So she's driving, so I can watch everything on my phone.
Right.
That's that technology you're bragging about.
Yeah, and that's your job. You know, you got to watch this.
It's your job. Let's talk to Jay Heidrick about Kansas State.
But all I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
This apparently was a message Jay Heidrick had for you, Nate. So keep me out of this thing. I'm sitting over here.
Morning, guys.
Nate is speechless right now.
Yeah. Well, hey, congratulations on the win. Great game. Great performance by your Wildcats, Jake.
I may have texted you, Nate. You know, that was just a great college basketball game all around. You know, other than the officiating. You know, I heard Gabe talking about the officiating in the Mizzou game. You know, K-State, KU, there's no way this can be worse officiated. It could be more fouls called. The Mizzou goes, hold my beer.
I like how no matter what, no matter if your team loses or wins, no matter what team your conference is in, every guest that we have on Talk College Basketball, I tell you what, this officiating sucks. And so it's universal. So welcome to the show, Jay Heidrick.
Yeah, it is. So no, it was a huge deal for K-State. They played not perfect. They played well enough to win. And you know, I think they showed that this isn't a fluke K-State team. I mean, I don't think if I went into the game and told you that Marquise Noel's only going to have 4 points tonight, I think a lot of people would say this game's not going to be close. But K-State, I thought, looked just as athletic as KU. They weren't intimidated by KU. And KU's good, don't get me wrong. But I think it just shows where Coach Tang and these players are headed and the potential that's out there for K-State.
Well, we know that you've loved Coach Tang from the minute that the hire was announced, and we've talked a lot about that. He certainly was out front before the game and then afterwards, of course, taking the microphone and getting on the stage. Where do you come down on this idea? First of all, he said, hey, I'm giving you one court storming, and after this we expect to win, and I want you to have this attitude every time we play, not just because we're playing Kansas. Let's focus on ourselves. What did you think of all the messaging that came out from Jerome Tang before and after the game?
I loved it. I am 100% on board with it. You know, it's. I think that K-State fans do put at times too much emphasis on beating KU. I mean, look, this season's not going to be a success just because we beat KU. And had we lost, it wouldn't be a failure just because we lost to KU. There are bigger things out there for K-State than just beating KU. Is it a rivalry game? Yeah. Do you need to care about it? Yeah. Is it okay to get worked up about it? Yeah. But at the same time, too, it's not the only thing. It's not even the most important thing that's out there. So K-State fans need to start focusing on, you know, what do we want for our program, not what can we do to another program. And so I love Coach Tang's messaging. If you look at it, if you go back and listen to all of his comments, he never once said KU. It was like a politician. He said, you know, that other team out there, you know, they're good, but we let them live in our heads rent-free. And I think that that was intentional. It was definitely intentional. And what it does then is it also sets up his players. The players know that it's an important game to Kansans, and it's a rivalry game. But at the same time, too, it's a completely new roster. Most of the kids hadn't played in a game like this before. They may have played in some rivalry game, but they certainly hadn't played in a KU K-State game. And so when he sends this messaging out, he's also telling his team that this is just a big game, and we happen to play Kansas. We're playing the number two team in the country, and it happens to be Kansas. It's not putting all the emphasis on we're playing Kansas. I thought it just a great job by Coach Tang delivering the message.
Hey, one of the guys that was the, you know, one of the big heroes of the game for K-State is somebody we haven't really talked about, at least with you on the show, Desi Sills. Man, what a game he had, and I'd just like to get your perspective on that performance and what do you expect from him going forward?
Well, Bill Snyder used to say, if you show me you can do it once, I expect it every time. And Desi's a fantastic player. He's a kid early on that I saw as, you know, has the framework, has the body, the skill set to be an impactful player. And he's had moments earlier on in the year, too, but really, really shined against Kansas. Came up big shot after big shot. And although Marquise Noel only had 4 points, he was still an impact on that game. And Bill Self, you know, a masterful coach, he did a great job of scheming to take Noel away. But Self stepped up and filled that gap. And when he had open shots, knocked him down. So I think that, you know, it just shows that K-State is deep. They don't have to rely on just two players. And I think that that would be a confidence booster for Desi moving forward, and he's going to be really impactful moving forward in the conference.
It's crazy to think that Texas Tech is still searching for their first conference victory, but that's where we are right now. And we've seen them enough to know that they're not a bad team. And so how dangerous are they coming into Manhattan? I mean, right now every game for them is a must-win because of the hole they've dug. But what are your thoughts on Texas Tech?
You're absolutely right, Stephen. They are not indicative of their record. They have 0-6 in conference. 4 of those losses, I believe, are 4 points or less. They took KU to the wire. They took Texas to the wire. Took OU to the wire. I think that this Mark Adams team is going to come in. They're going to play hard. They're going to guard you. It's going to be a low-scoring affair. They're going to try to make it a grind-out affair, which is why Bruce had some success against Texas Tech. You know, that's the way Bruce played. Defensive struggle, low possession, slow down the pace. And I think K-State's just got to go out and play its game. If it's a high-possession game and they can score, can knock down shots, go do that. But if it does slow down and you got to grind it out, K-State's proven it can do that too. It had a win over Oklahoma State in a similar type of game. So they've shown that they can win in a number of different ways, but you cannot look at Texas Tech and think they're 0-6 in the conference. This is going to be a rummy. There are no easy games in the Big 12 this year. There aren't even any quasi-easy games. Every game is going to be a battle in the Big 12, and Saturday is going to be no different.
All right, so you think K-State gets the win, though, and also, more importantly, please give us your final score between the Chiefs and the Jags?
You know, I was listening to Petro yesterday, and I agree with him. I don't think that it's going to be close. I think Chiefs are going to win 35-21.
35-21 is a cover and the over. Jay Heidrick, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
A lot of covers and overs coming in now, Marco, on Friday. A lot of people with confidence. Yesterday, as you sat watching me like a hawk, I picked 34-20 for our picks on Twitter and Facebook. All right. Are you more confident? Is everyone more confident? You still getting nervous? There's a lot of 10 and 14 point predictions.
I think maybe one of the only ones, and I've got the Chiefs winning but not covering. Mm. I got them winning by 7.
You have a non-believer here.
All I really care about is whether or not they win.
You don't care about Marco?
Thanks,
lining his pocket?
Well, look, I feel like that's a lost cause.
Yeah,
well.
I get kicked out of my house, I'm coming to you.
There you go. We'll be right there in your basement ready to
you
play.
Take care of that 3-year-old when we won't sleep at night.
Play in the backyard, all kinds of stuff. Back after this on WHB.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, people, let's get ready. It's time to talk to JR from JRWins.com. And let me tell you something. We're very excited because the playoffs are here. The Chiefs are finally back in action, JR, and we've got a lot of great games to look forward to this weekend.
I couldn't agree more. Divisional playoff round is here. Wild cards behind us. And, guys, I got to tell you, we are shining. And I'm going to keep the light going. I'm going to tell you now, with the Chiefs having a week to rest and a healthy team playing at Arrowhead, going against the Jacksonville team playing with house money, coming back in the second half last week after being just annihilated in the first half against a Chargers team that, let's face it, has been up and down, ebbing and flowing, I can tell you now, I have a real good grasp on this game. I'm going to let you know not only whether or not the Chiefs win, but whether or not they cover this big game. So call the number. I'm leaving it for free on a 30-second recorded message. Guys, take advantage of the free information right now and get this game in. 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. 14-3 Kansas City at home, but 5-11 against the spread with a push. Taking on Jacksonville, 10-8 straight up, 9-8-1 against the spread. Both teams scoring, obviously Kansas City leading basically everyone in the playoffs, scoring nearly 30 points a game, allowing 22. Jacksonville coming into the game, red hot, hottest team in the NFL, coming in for the last 6 games of the season, putting up 24 a game, allowing 21. Both teams rush the football well. Obviously, Kansas City throws it better. Guys, I'm going to tell you now, again, I'll let you know not only who's going to win, but who's covering this game. Call now. I've done all the homework, checked all the boxes. I've got a great feel, and I'm giving you my prediction free of charge on the recording. Call now, 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. And make sure you go to my website, JRWins.com, and you also check out WagerPro.com.
So, JR, besides the Chiefs and the Jags, and hopefully the Chiefs win that game on Saturday, everyone in Kansas City will be very excited to watch the other AFC divisional round game on Sunday between Cincinnati and Buffalo, because, of course, if the Chiefs win and Buffalo wins, the championship game will be in Atlanta on a neutral site. If Cincy wins, it'll be a rematch at Arrowhead between the Bengals and the Chiefs for the AFC championship game. So tell me what you think of this matchup that we were supposed to see a couple of weeks ago. Now we finally get to see Bengals and Bills.
I got to say, I really am pumped up about this game. I was one of those guys on that Monday who was strapped in and ready to go. I thought it was going to be a really exciting game. It obviously got called off for good reason. But now we've got a real good matchup. And I'm going to tell you, it's really odd, and this is what I like to see. A lot of the money, okay, and I'm talking the money, not the actual bets, it's all coming in big on Buffalo, which is why that line, you see it jumped already. Okay, it went from 3.5 to 5.5. But the public money is coming in heavily on the Bengals. 65-35 on the Bengals, but the money is 65-35 on the Bills. I like to see when the lines move and why they're moving it. And when you got big money coming in like that, the odds makers have a tendency to just try to level off the books. Then you go look for a weak spot, maybe even just the stats. Look, people don't talk about it. Both these teams equal a value as far as record goes, 13-4 against 14-3. Bengals much better against the spread, 12-4-1 on the season. Both teams scoring almost 27 points a game, but here's the weak point. Cincinnati does not rush the football well, have not been able to do so all year between Mixon and Perine. They're putting up only 93 yards a game on the ground. They're going to have to run the ball effectively in order to open up that passing game, and I got a feeling that this Cincinnati team is really going to have their hands full against a Buffalo team at home with momentum. I got not just a feeling, but all of what I see checks off all the boxes, and you could put me on record this week, my free play on air. Get in Buffalo, buy it down to -5, look for them to win this, not just win this game, but by at least a touchdown or more.
There it is. JR likes Buffalo, JRWins.com. Again, JR, tell people how they can get the Chiefs and Jags game.
Guys, this is what it's all about. The big game today, tomorrow is going to be this Jaguars-Kansas City game, and I'm telling you, I've got it locked up. It is absolutely free on a 30-second message. Call, listen, and then get it in. Call 800-499-3733. It's a 30-second message with the winner against the spread of Kansas City-Jacksonville. Call 800-499-3733. 800-499-3733. Visit me at jrwins.com. Check out wagerpro.com. Follow me on social media at Real Radio JR. And as always, Steven, I want everyone listening to be safe, have fun, go out there and make some money.
All right, JR, we'll talk to you next week. Back after this on WHP.
I tell you what, I about had a Marco yelling at me in the commercial break. Why don't you start yelling at Nate for a while?
Oh, he just did.
Get his ass in gear.
I need to get my ass in gear.
See, that's the truth.
Man.
You're stuck in neutral.
He's dealing with a three-year-old, so I can't give him any more.
Nobody wants to hear it.
I'm dealing with two 13-year-olds. And so, there's each have their own specific challenges, I can promise you.
Trust me, I got a 13-year-old right now and a 3-year-old.
That's
the
thing,
get
I don't trust you. Not when it comes to that.
You don't trust me.
No.
Why not?
Because you're trying to go out and play catch in the third quarter and drink beer at halftime and stand till I don't know what the hell you're doing.
I don't know what was that.
It's
I didn't do that.
Listen here. I got a couple things I want to tell you. First of all, do you want to win a Creed Humphrey jersey or autographed or not?
I mean, yeah.
This guy is a big, brawny son of a gun, blocking people, representing the Chiefs.
He's a Pro Bowler.
Very handsome mullet. I've told you. What did I tell you earlier?
Oh, you've told me a lot of things today.
You go to Sports Radio 810 on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always
Facebook,
go there.
Okay? This is how you can win, and you got all the way up until kickoff. You can win a Creed Humphrey autographed jersey. Go to Facebook. Follow Sports Radio 810. Like the post that's pinned at the top of the page. And for a bonus entry, you could tag your game day buddy. Tag me. I'd be your game day buddy. I mean, I don't know what that means, but we're friends, I think. So go to Sports Radio 810's Facebook page. Follow Sports Radio 810. Like the post. Tag your game day buddy. You can have a couple of entries in there. And the contest ends kickoff tomorrow. Winner will be chosen at random. You'll be contacted. And then next week you could be wearing an autographed Creed Humphrey jersey. And you'll be strutting your stuff all around town like nobody cares. But I care. Now, that's how you can win an autographed Creed Humphrey jersey. Now I'm going to tell you how you could win in a raffle a framed Patrick Mahomes jersey.
Whoa.
You ever heard of that one, Stan?
I have heard of all that.
Now listen, this is a very important thing here because we're going to take a moment. We're focusing on the Chiefs in the playoffs, but this is also a way that you can help raise money for a very important cause near and dear to my heart. And we've done this before. We've tried to raise some money for the Don Bosco Centers, all right? And what they do is this campaign is to help raise money to feed seniors. With the cost of both food and fuel increasing and the reimbursement dollars being limited, it can be very difficult to continue to serve at the same capacity as before. The Don Bosco Center serve approximately 600 meals daily between their senior center catering to other senior centers and home-delivered meals. And if you buy some tickets for this raffle, you can help provide a meal for three seniors. So this is very important, all right? Ticket prices are $25 for one ticket, $100 for five tickets, and they're going to sell a limited number of tickets, and you can help the Don Bosco Center. And I've got two people just to tell us where this money goes and why this is so important. The executive director, Mo Orpin, and the development director, Brian Moore. Mo, Brian, how are you doing?
Good morning.
Excellent.
Doing well, thanks.
Okay, so I kind of laid it out there, and you can go to donbosco.org, and I just did this, so it all works. Go to donbosco.org, click Get Involved, and then there you can click on the Patrick Mahomes jersey raffle. And so Mo and then Brian, just tell us again, reiterate what the money's for and why this is so important. People can get a chance to win this wonderful jersey, but more importantly, it's helping feed people that need it.
Yeah, thanks for having us this morning. So the Don Bosco Senior welcomes about 75 to 100 seniors for a hot, nutritious meal every day, and we have loads of activities to involve them in and keep them living in their own homes instead of having to be placed in a nursing home. And it's a place where people come and get together, and this becomes a part of their family, or we are now part of their family, and we love that. We also, as you said, serve eight other outlying senior centers and deliver about 200 meals to homebound seniors every day. And it's really important because a lot of these people, most of them are low income, and a lot of them are alone and don't have people to check in on them. So when our drivers go to bring their meal every day, they become friends with them and learn all about them. And they notice if something's wrong, maybe some utilities have been turned off or they need medical attention. And they come back and let our client advocates know, and they help to resolve any problems that might come up. And so Brian's going to talk about the inflation and how it's affecting what we're doing. We're not changing the quality of our service, even though inflation's hitting us hard. Brian?
Yeah, Stephen, you mentioned this. Over the last couple of years, our cost to just create the food that we deliver to these seniors has increased by 22%. And our cost to deliver the food to our seniors has increased by 51%. So inflation has hit us. It's hit everyone. But our folks that are on a limited income really struggle right now. And you're giving us an opportunity to reach out to your listeners and give them a chance to help us do this important work.
And it is very important, and you do great work with the Don Bosco Center. So if you would like to get involved, donbosco.org, click Get Involved, one of those tabs. Nate can do it. And I think Nate's doing it right now, and you click it, and then you Patrick Mahomes raffle. And again, it's $25 for one ticket, $100 for five tickets, a limited number of tickets, so your chance of winning will be high. The winner's going to be announced on Friday, February 10th, so you got plenty of time. But go ahead and do it now so you don't forget. And most importantly, it's you're helping feed seniors. For every ticket you buy, that's three meals for a senior. And so we're all excited about the Chiefs. We're all excited about Red Friday. But we got to remember, we all got to help each other out. Because that's the greatest thing about Kansas City is the fan base, the community, how we take care of each other, what a great town this is. And so, again, donbosco.org, click Get Involved. And you can buy those raffle tickets right there. And it's a beautiful, it's framed, right? It's a beautiful framed Patrick Mahomes jersey, right?
Yeah, it's a great, great piece. It has some other memorabilia in it, too, and it's really nicely done.
So please keep us updated, and then we can give you another mention or two before February 10th. And I would like you to know, Nate has just told me, he's very modest, he said if he wins the jersey, he wants to give it to me, which that's a tremendous... Yeah. Statement and a token of his friendship. So I thank you, Nate. You don't have to do that.
I didn't realize I said that, but yeah, I'll stand by it.
You're thinking it, and I can see through you.
And so, then will you give it to Marco?
Well, you know what, Mark? Maybe Mark. I don't know. That's now you're You're crossing the line there, Mo. All right, so tell so before we let you go, Mo or Brian, whoever, just tell people again why this is so important.
This is important because we believe there are over 8,000 seniors in Kansas City that are food insecure, and we're doing our part with the seniors we can. But it's an important issue that our community needs to pay attention to and support as best they can.
Thank you so much for everything that you do, and we're glad we could help you hopefully raise a whole bunch of money to continue to serve the seniors and make sure they have the meals that they need. Again, go to donbosco.org, click on the Get Involved tab, and you'll see right there where you can purchase tickets for the Patrick Mahomes jersey raffle. Mo and Brian, thank you so much for the time, and hopefully we'll sell a bunch of tickets for you.
Thank you so much for helping us out.
Thanks, absolutely. Guys. Absolutely. Our pleasure. We got a lot of good friends that are involved with the Don Bosco Center, and I'm always happy to help, you know.
Yeah, it's a great cause.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeedy, feed the needy.
That's exactly right. We will take a break. When we come back, we have Tim Grunhard.
Florida man. He knows all about Waffle House.
He's in Florida. He's ready to attack this next hour and tell you why the Chiefs are going to beat the Jags. So we've got all that coming up after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.